Bros. Football. Bros.
Touchdown!
Hello, it's football season.
Fantasy football.
Give me a hell yeah!
This is fantasy.
Can white guys use the term fan?
Oh, you know, we are back. What is up? Keith Irizarry, Alex Hardy, John Salas, the fam is here, episode 2, season number 3. You've got hoops playoffs, you've got hockey playoffs, you got baseball is roaring, but we are all about football. Alex, John, what's up, fellas?
Keith Irizarry, I can't think of anything roaring more than my passion for fantasy football and doing this right now. What's going on, John Salas?
Feeling a little offended here. Baseball is not boring. If there's anything I can think of that I love more.
I said it was roaring. Roaring.
Did you say it was roaring? I don't know. We're going to have to go back and check that.
It was roaring. I love baseball. Come on now, brother.
I don't know. I'm just in an offended mood because the Angels just got swept by the Dodgers and they just lose to the Giants. So I'm a little mad.
The other podcast on the
I'm a little mad. Whoa.
Not unusual to see your Angels lose a game.
I thought you were going to say lose by one, but that's just inaccurate.
Whoa.
Hey, guys. So since we last spoke, Nick Chubb is now in the concussion protocol. AJ Green is dealing with hamstring issues. And listen, Alex, you brought this up to me about Gronk. He's having problems with Florida weather.
Keith Irizarry, it starts with the weather. That's just the excuse for today. I've got some serious issues with Rob Gronkowski. I'm not even going to draft him this year. Would anybody be surprised if he made the football field this year for the Buccaneers?
He's going to play this year. But yeah, I don't find him as someone I'm reaching for in drafts at all.
Have you guys been to Florida? It's tough. That weather sucks. I can't blame Gronk for just struggling right now. He's going to be fine, though. It just takes some adapting. He's going to be a tight end number one for the Bucs. So draft him. He's with his boy TB12. Listen to your boy, always.
I don't know. At some point, we will talk about this Tampa Bay offense because I'm intrigued by the fact that they're going to be running, 12 personnel, and they got Cam Brayton, they got O.J. Howard, and they got Gronk, and they got Tom Brady. I'm intrigued by it, but that leads me into this. We talked a lot about Nick Chubb last week, and I want to talk about it again because I'm continuing to ride the train of I'm afraid of Nick Chubb, and I'm leaning a little bit more towards Kareem Hunt. The more and more I think about Hunt, he is one injury away from being a top five running back this year, and Chubb already has one injury. Fellas, have either of you changed your minds on Chubb in a week?
The concussion doesn't really concern me so much. He'll be fine in a couple of weeks when we get to the week one kickoff. Like we said to close out the first episode, the grand return of fantasy football. Good to be back with you guys on another Friday, by the way.
Woo-hoo.
It is not the concussion that takes away Nick Chubb's workload. He's not a focal point of their passing offense, so I have him downgraded as is. The concussion still has him ranked between RB5 and RB10 for me. I'm not really concerned about this injury, but his upside in that offense, I'm sort of pumping the brakes on Nick Chubb personally.
Actually, I am not. I'm still all in for Nick Chubb, even though I said I'm staying away from the Browns, but you need running back, someone who will get you points. So the only thing that does scare me is how often concussions can happen. So as long as he can ride through and stay healthy, I'm not worried. But hey, Kareem Hunt, keep him in your back pocket.
And how about old man AJ Green, 32 years old now and already with some hamstring issues. Again, a reason we want to remind you, don't romanticize the name. AJ Green has not been a fantasy star for a couple of seasons now.
You said that perfectly, Keith. I just want to keep this quick. Do not get fooled. Stay away from AJ Green, and it's the Bengals. So why would you even be tempted?
I don't know. We're going to get to this a little later from now. I have a little bit more faith in the Cincinnati Bengals offense, adding the type of players that can actually run the Zach Taylor offense compared to when Andy Dalton and Ryan Finley were under center for the Bengals. They're going to pass the ball a lot, and Joe Burrow's a clear upgrade over Andy Dalton. So AJ Green's hamstring has been almost as consistent as his time as an elite stud wide receiver. But if he can kind of shake this off and he's ready for week one, I actually kind of like where AJ Green has been going in drafts. I'd at least draft him ahead of Tyler Boyd.
No, I'm going Tyler Boyd over AJ Green all day, but I want to lead me right into to drafting. And a perfect segue there. So, John, Alex, we are actually in leagues together. We all have our own leagues with separate friends and separate jobs and all that type of stuff.
You're my only friends.
Okay, fair enough. You know, all right, then you're in one league then. So we are all gearing up for this draft. And you're what, 3 weeks away from the season as we hit air today. And we're going to be discussing Superflex. I love Superflex. Gives you an opportunity to start two quarterbacks. Have either of you played in Superflex leagues?
I honestly never even heard of Superflex until this was put on a rundown. And when we were talking about it earlier, before we started recording, I absolutely love this idea. We need to implement it into our league ASAP.
Yeah, Keith, the Superflex, adding a second quarterback into the starting lineup, kind of takes me back to when I first started playing fantasy football. I can get behind it. It's more scoring. But personally, I'm a little more of a traditionalist, and I start one quarterback.
Boomer.
I want to roll with this Superflex. It changes the game plan because when I look at it, all right, Christian McCaffrey's still going to be the number one pick. But if you're drafting a Superflex, you're probably going Mahomes, Lamar next. Dak's going to be taken in the first round. Wilson and Kyler are going to be first round or second round picks. And if you're going to obviously want to have two quarterbacks in your roster. If you don't have a third one, you got to make sure you have a real bona fide player you can roll into the Superflex on a buy spot. It kind of toys with your own emotions, then leads me to this. Guys, we are talking about potentially getting rid of defense and kickers in leagues. John, you first.
Okay, I actually like this idea because in my league that I do with friends, the kicker actually has a meaning to it because if you miss it from 10 to 20 yards, that's minus a point. If you make it, it's one. And then every 10 yards, you add a point. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in this league, you know, I play with people who don't really follow football. This is a way to get them involved. So more points, the better. So I added that. And then defense, you know, a pick six, if you're down by a half a point, you know, end of the game to secure a win, a fumble, a turnover. So there's still meaning to it. I think we kind of still overlook it because, you know, it's, hey, we're looking at our last two rounds. We got to get a defense or a kicker. But ultimately, I like it. I still think the points are there, but, you know, stick with your position players, obviously.
I can understand why you brought this up, Keith, this particular offseason because of the type of scoring that the Patriots defense did consistently last year.
You knew exactly where I was going with this.
I think that was an aberration more than anything. I mean, it's not just half the defense opting out, but just their offense not being able to control the ball as well. I don't want the defense or the kickers dictating the outcome of a fantasy matchup, but if it serves as the tiebreaker, John gave the example, if it's half a point or, you know, you're just down a couple points overall, it's kind of fun to at least utilize the team defense in a matchup. If I have a defense and you've got that player, that quarterback head to head, Keith, yeah, I'm going to watch and root for interceptions and for them to sack your QB. But I don't necessarily live or die on that hill. I could be just as fine. I'd rather replace one of the defense or the kicker with, say, another flex play. More points, baby.
Yeah, I can roll with that too. I just don't like the randomness of defense and kickers and what they are. Something else that's being kicked around in a lot of leagues, the idea of adding COVID spots. We know in most leagues there's one or two IR spots. Now with what we have in the world right now, the pandemic, COVID-19, we know that players could get it. We know that people can get it. You know, you could maybe have to step away for 2 weeks. Thoughts on a COVID spot or multiple COVID spots in your leagues? Because I'm all in. Yes, I'm giving you the lead right away.
You're so benevolent, Keith. So I'll just move the conversation along and give you what you want. You have a couple COVID spots on your roster. What position would you dedicate them to? Do you want running back depth, wide receiver depth? I mean, is there any particular area that needs to be addressed with backups?
So the way that I would roll the COVID spots are they would essentially be like an IR spot. So John Salas has insert player X. That player in week number two gets COVID-19 and now has to be away from the team for 2 weeks. It is unlike an injury. It's not like the flu. If you have the flu, they pump you with fluids. You probably still play. With COVID, you're not even allowed around the other teammates. So that's why I would just have that extra spot there. So John would have a free pickup of insert player Y for player X and then drops that player when COVID player is back.
instead of just making everything complicated, why don't we just extend the IL if the guy is on, you know, as long as the guy needs to be. If he gets COVID, has to be away from 2 weeks, just put him on the IL for 2 weeks. It doesn't need to get complicated. Simple as that. And yes, it's sadly, this is in the back of my mind while I am drafting. Not necessarily when drafting, but right after. Hint, hint, I can't believe I'm going to say this because it's a little tip for the viewers and the listeners, but unfortunately a little cheat code for you guys. But I think a thing I'm going to do and what you all should be doing is once the draft is over, look to see who is left sitting there who you can pick up right away just in case you just want to stash them away. And if you want to play devil's advocate, hey, I think that starter is going to get COVID. I'm going to put this guy on my bench just because by week three, he's going to be in there playing for me.
Alex, how does one gauge if someone's going to get an illness? I don't know how we gauge.
Well, that. John got the fresh cut. So if you just kind of rub your hands on the magic eight ball on the top of his dome right there, maybe you can foresee who has COVID or not. If you're really concerned, let's say you're drafting within the next couple of weeks and there's still 10 days, a week or so before the season kicks off. We just talked about this with defenses and kickers. If you have to draft both positions, but you'd rather have depth at running back and wide receiver, you can use those draft picks and leave your defense and kicker slots empty until the night before the Texans open with the Chiefs, the reigning Super Bowl champs, and then you can pick up those roster spots that you need. Because if you're going into draft saying, I need to target the 49ers defense, I need to target the Ravens defense, when you can just take the Colts or the Eagles first 4 weeks of their schedule and those defenses are going undrafted, spend the extra pick on your lottery ticket at the end of the draft if you're concerned with COVID or just want as many possible gambles as you want. Just wait until you absolutely have to put a kicker or defense on your roster.
Yeah, at some point we'll talk more about handcuffs on fantasy football. But with that being said, I really feel strongly about this being cuffing season. It's handcuff season. Lastly, on the idea of drafts, we are more than likely not going to be in person most of our drafts. So we're going to be drafting on Zoom or some sort of platform like that. I like it. I think it adds some extra sauce to you. I think it allows you to see each other's faces without actually being in person. One caveat to this, though, I think that it could potentially make drafts last longer. You could have technical issues and also just people speaking over each other.
That's what we had during the NFL draft, right? There were some technical issues with the first hour or so, and then things were moving right along. Personally, I think we should stretch out our fantasy draft over 3 days like the NFL did. John, your thoughts?
That's a lot of drinking that I will be doing over those 3 days, so give me about a week heads up if we do that. But the one thing that I didn't... I did an in-person draft last year, and it wasn't over Zoom. I actually had a draft board, got really insane, went all out with it. It was really fun. It just was – the one thing is that, especially because we're going to be doing it on Zoom, and if you're doing it on Zoom, my one tip is come prepared. I can't tell you how many times I told myself, hey, I'm going to write out these notes. But in my head, you know, we've done this podcast, you know, talking with you guys all the time last year, just being around. I already knew in my head who I wanted to draft. But when it came my turn to draft, I'm like, oh, crap. Like, I don't know who to draft right now. Like, I want this person. Oh, they've been taken. So it's like, all right, like, you know, cross guys off, have a list, have a plan. And I think you won't be waiting 2 or 3 minutes to draft.
So let me read between the lines. John's tip for everyone out there is to be prepared for your fantasy draft. That's your golden,
hold on,
golden tip.
No, that's only because if you're doing it on Zoom in person. Because remember, if you're doing it online, you can put those guys in queue. Yes. So if they get taken, it's no problem. But if you're doing it on Zoom, not paying attention, you know, not crossing it off. If you guys knew what I was saying, bravo. If you didn't pick it up like Keith, I'm sorry. And I'm glad we were able to explain that and clear it up for everyone.
Mm.
And as I'm doing this on Zoom, hosting you two buffoons, if you're hosting your draft, make sure to have handwritten notes so you're not screen sharing on Zoom who you're planning on taking in round number three.
I mean, or you could just be a baller and have multiple screens going. I mean, come on. I will be having minimum 3 screens going.
Screen share your decoy picks.
Oh, I like that. I like that. All right, Alex Hardy. Each and every week when we're doing this, we are all bouncing ideas back and forth, things that are sticking out to us. And You came up with something that intrigued you. I'm calling it the Chip Kelly effect. You texted both of us and wanted to talk about pace of play in offense and how it could factor into fantasy football.
When we're deciding who we want to select for our football teams, opportunity matters. Opportunity is great, but it only goes as far as how many plays that team has on offense. So when we're looking at last year's offensive play selection, for example, you can get as far as the Philadelphia Eagles running over 1,100 plays of offense compared to the Washington football team that last year, when they were the Redskins, only ran 885 plays of offense. So you're talking about over 250 snaps on offense. Let's be fair, in 50-50. That's 125 pass attempts more coming from Carson Wentz than Dwayne Haskins right away, just based on how many snaps that they had on offense. And a lot of factors go into it, but it's pretty safe to say that the team that has more plays on offense gives you more of an opportunity to score touchdowns and score fantasy points. So I just thought it would be worth noting how quickly and how many snaps on offense teams have. And just looking at last year's stats, the top five teams in terms of pace of play, those that modeled themselves after one Chip Kelly, for which this segment has its namesake, the Carolina Panthers under Norv Turner, then his son Scott Turner, they're heading to Washington. And the fact that they ran the fastest offense in the league last year leads me to believe there are going to be more passing opportunities for Dwayne Haskins, and Terry McLaurin could even build on an incredible rookie season. Cowboys have the next fastest offense and run a ton of passing plays with Dak Prescott under center. They're intriguing to me, and let's take a quick detour here because I like the opportunities for Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup to both build on last season. But on top of that, CeeDee Lamb fills a role where Randall Cobb was targeted 110 times last year. Even if 100 of those targets go to a rookie CeeDee Lamb, there's still going to be a lot of involvement for both Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup. It's hard to pick a specific part of the Cowboys offense and say, I don't want any part of that.
I want to nerd out for a second, and John, I think you'll appreciate this. So Alex just mentioned a few of those teams. Panthers ran a play every 25.05 seconds, Cowboys 25.54. You had the Rams, Cardinals, and Falcons rounding out your top five. Top 10, then Bengals, Dolphins, Bucks, Lions, Giants. Bottom five, Packers at 28.86, then Niners, Raiders, Saints, Ravens. Reason why I'm not as high on pace of play, because I still want all the shares of the Ravens, all the shares of the Saints, a fair amount of shares of Raiders, Niners, Packers. I still think there's a fair share there. What I will say is I'm looking at pace of play more for daily fantasy and for streaming. Those are the places I'm looking at pace of play.
I completely understand where you're coming from, Keith. And in terms of pace, it's going to vary from team to team because the Ravens obviously ran to the line of scrimmage and ran the football 60% of the time compared to the Arizona Cardinals that got to the line of scrimmage almost at the same rate, but then were passing the ball almost 60% of the time. So it doesn't dictate what an offense does, but just be aware and know that if you're going to invest heavily in one particular offense, just double check that they're an offense that runs a lot of plays and makes it a lot of passing plays. So the one beneficiary, I think, just by studying these numbers in particular, is Todd Gurley. The Atlanta Falcons backfield, which featured Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman in years past, have the perfect back for their skill set and what they're looking to do. For one of the most pass-happy offenses, and especially to running backs, Todd Gurley's leaving the Rams that had the fewest pass attempts to running backs last year. So just on opportunity alone, Todd Gurley is going from one of the worst situations for his skill set to one of the best in the Atlanta Falcons.
All right, from pace of play, let's go now to players that we think could surprise you. Ping pong this one. So we're going to talk about running backs and wide receivers. John, I want you to go first. Give us a running back that is being drafted, obviously, outside of the top five of the group of running backs, and you believe has the potential to end up as an RB1.
Call me crazy. Melvin Gordon.
Okay, crazy.
Check it out. 11 games last year, he only started 8 rushing touchdowns, all right, and only 1 passing touchdown, but why?
Why is that, John?
Why, John?
Oh, well.
Why, John?
Kind of want. I wanted the class to answer, but Austin Eckler, we all know he went all out, just had a great year, even with Melvin. But guess what? I don't care that Philip Lindsay is there. We got Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy as the wide receivers, yes, but it doesn't matter. I'm still expecting the TD receptions in the red zone for Melvin Gordon to go up. He's had back-to-back years with 14 total touchdowns, and I'm not scared that there's another running back there, and I'm not scared that there's two studs as wide receivers. Melvin Gordon, 16 total touchdowns this season, will get ranked right up there as your top running back. You will be missing out if you go and wait for him late.
All right, I'm going to go second since he mentioned someone that I'm going to talk about, Austin Eckler. Mm-hmm. Listen, the Chargers offense won't be as good with whomever ends up being the quarterback. But last year, you look at the numbers, 556 rushing yards, caught 92 balls. I think you could peg him in there for, pencil him in there for 750 to 800 rushing yards, another 800 receiving yards. I remind everybody that before Melvin Gordon did come back to the Chargers last year, Eckler was basically, I don't know, an RB2, RB3 total in fantasy points. He was third among all running backs in fantasy points per touch as well. Give me all the Austin Eckler love.
Both of those guys have not been in a lead role, but are presented those opportunities this year. I'm kind of excited to see what to expect. Philip Lindsay may be a good addition at the back end of your roster early on in the season. Melvin Gordon quoted this week saying he's struggling a little bit with the altitude in Denver. So he may get acclimated and maybe somebody to target in the second half of the season approaching the trade deadline. And what's not to love about Eckler? What you need for a player that's drafted outside the top five that could finish number one in their position is the upside and the ability to catch passes. Now, I really like Josh Jacobs. I really like Nick Chubb. But without that opportunity in the passing game, their ceiling has, as Michael Jordan almost said, has pretty much hit the roof. So the guys that have that pass-catching duty that are also going to be the focal point of the rushing offense, the two guys for me have to be CEH, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and Miles Sanders with the Eagles. Because of the lack of talent around them, I'm not scared of Boston Scott and a Darren Sproles role. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I know that he's not the one that opted out, but Darrell Williams is not somebody that's going to threaten the workload. So I like those two guys. And if we want to pick a wide receiver just because, give me Juju Smith-Schuster. Huge upside with a healthy Ben Roethlisberger playing out of the slot for those Pittsburgh Steelers.
I'll give you a wide receiver fast. Kenny Golladay finished as wide receiver 6 in PPR formats last year. Last week, I talked to you a little bit about Marvin Jones and what that Detroit offense was doing when Stafford was there. Golladay was a recipient of that as well. Had 4 games of 23 or more PPR points with Stafford in the lineup. Golladay has the chance to be one of the top wide receivers.
I got a wide receiver for you guys too. And I'm just going to say it's an obvious name, but it's only because he dropped. DeAndre Hopkins is going to show you why he shouldn't have dropped in your leagues and why you should have still taken him in that top 1 to 2 with the wide receivers. So look out for D-Hop.
Can we just be all in on the Arizona Cardinals this year? Is that the team we love with Kyler, Kenyon Drake, DeAndre Hopkins? Is there a team we could all fall in love with for this year? Because I think if it's for me, mine would be the Cardinals.
Cardinals, and we can have this conversation, you know, when we talk about NBA, like league pass, like who's your league pass team that you want to watch? I think that the Cardinals would be my red zone team I want to watch. I want to see.
They're better than that. They're better than that, aren't they?
I want to see the Cardinals scoring touchdowns all the time. All right, and with that, fellas, we are now with an eye on episode 3, episode 4, episode 5, episode 19, episode 20. We are going to be rolling for so many weeks as we continue to get prepared for drafts. More prepping for drafts. Offensive lines, they might not be sexy, but they can be difference makers. And gentlemen, sleepers. Sleepers are huge. We'll have some of those and maybe some players that are being drafted too high.
I think it's important to know if your first-round running back is behind one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL. So I'm excited to cover that topic with you, Keith. And just so you guys don't sleep on fantasy football, I'll tease my sleeper for you for next week's podcast. You won't even have to worry about drafting him. He's that unknown.
I've got one of those as well. I've got one of those as well. We also, at some point, need to get into this tight end class because you've got the top three or four, and then you've got a boatload of players that still can be difference makers for you. I want to remind everybody out there, download the Fantasy Football Podcast, available in the iTunes Store, Spotify, and wherever else you can get your podcast. Make sure to check out our next episode continuing as we continue to gear up for the NFL season. He's Alex. He's John.
Uh-oh.
I am Keith.
You know what day it is, John.
Wait, what day is it, guys?
I mean, one with the vocal cords.
Uh-oh.
It's Friday. How to get down on Friday. Keith has less hair than Alex. Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Remember, Rob Gronkowski's going number one on Friday. Party. Now, everybody, fun.
Friday.